Hi, this is a His Beloved Catholic podcast. We are so glad you're with us. We have a heart for drawing people, you, into the heart of the Father and His deep, immense love over you.
So we are two best friends who live across the street, and we have this podcast because we feel like the Lord is calling us, this entire Catholic Church, to revival. So you are here for our Advent series, and this is on the names of Jesus. And we just felt the Lord saying He wants to draw into deep intimacy during Advent so that on Christmas morning, you can run into His arms, knowing Him deeply, knowing His heart for you, getting rid of pain and shame and heartache, receiving healing and freedom from chains, and just get to celebrate the Christmas season with Him. Mm-hmm. We are so excited that you are here. There is a study that goes along with this. If you would like to purchase it, it's on our website, hisbelovedoftexas.com, and you can find that in the show notes. But more than anything, we just want you to let the Lord speak His love over you today.
Yeah. Come along for the ride.
Hello. Welcome back to the His Beloved podcast. How you doing?
Good. Hi, Megan.
Good. Today is a special day.
Yeah. So today we're diving into the bridegroom. So as you're listening to this, it is December the 8th. And it is the Feast of Our Lady.
The Immaculate Conception.
Yeah.
So
beautiful day.
On the real day, we went to Mass this morning.
Yes.
But not today.
Not today. Right. Because we're recording ahead of time. Yes.
We're like, man, too bad we're not actually recording on our feast day. That'd be so cool. But you guys get to experience it today, which is super fun.
Yeah. Super fun. So as we dive into the bridegroom, gosh, I wish we were all just sitting in a room and I can just hear answers. I just want to hear so badly what God has been doing in your heart so far on this journey as you're journeying with us through this study. But also how your Lectio Divina went yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, we dove into Romans, and the reason why I think the Holy Spirit led me to that scripture verse to put that with the Lectio Divina is because as we dive into the bridegroom and understand fully who He is. And, you know, we learned also that in biblical times, the bridegroom would go away, you know, and prepare a place and come back for his bride to take her to that place for the ceremony, and they would live there. So for him to leave takes trust, to know where he is, to know that he is working for our good, to know that he is preparing a place for us, and to know that we are like forever etched in his heart, I think is important. And so I feel like him leading us into Romans chapter 8 was a way for us to be open to who he is, to his character, that there is nothing that can come between us and his love over us. And so good.
Okay, so I want to tell you something.
Yeah.
So you weren't there, but I went to the Blessed Is She revival.
Yeah.
In Taylor. Kendra was at a volleyball game or something.
Yeah, we had a playoff game.
And so that's what Beth Davis talked about.
Oh, wow.
And you didn't hear this. So, yeah. And I was pretty mind blown about it that day. And it like went in beautifully with what you wrote in the journal too. And I bet a lot of the women probably heard it, because I'm sure a lot of y'all either saw her in Austin or Dallas or somewhere else. But she was talking about how, and during the betrothal, he goes off and he prepares a room. But she wasn't talking about Roman. She was talking about John, I think it's 14. That in my house, there are many rooms.
Oh yeah.
Cause I've always thought of that as being like heaven. And so what she's saying is he's preparing this heavenly marriage for us
That
scripture. And what was cool about it is I had already spent some time with that, because I think it was one of our assignments for school, maybe.
Okay.
We were supposed to pray with John 14. And so I had actually prayed through that whole scripture, and the Lord, it was almost like my very own Passion Translation. Like the Lord gave me words to go with what it means. And so can I share that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Please.
I have created a room just for you, a room in my heart where you are fully seen, fully known, and fully alive. You can be 100% you here without fear or hiding. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You access this room through me. You know the Father's heart because you know me. So this is like line by line,
wow,
like what the scripture says. I will never leave you alone. I am yours and you are mine. I am in you and you are in me. You will see me in that silent place in your heart. You know me and you will hear my voice. I am giving you the Spirit to give you comfort, counsel, and my love. You do not need to fear or worry. You have everything that you need with my love and my Spirit. You can rest and be still in my Spirit. The ruler of the world has no power over me. Mm. And I had this like vision of the song A Million Dreams from from what's that movie called? Greatest Showman.
Yeah, yeah.
Of like Jesus like running through this house of like this place that he's prepared just for his bridegroom to say, like, look what I've made for you when I left. And I'm coming back. And I think part of that is like the, like we said before, like the coming and the now and the here and the we're waiting, but he's here. There's that, we're in that weird in between.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's just heaven. Like, I think he's preparing a place for that intimacy.
Yeah.
Now. Right.
Yeah. For sure.
So I thought that was really cool.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And she just did a beautiful job of like describing like living in that house with him and what does it look like? And so I thought it went really well into what you did too.
That's beautiful. I just think of, how the Lord is courting us as he's preparing the place for us.
Yeah.
Right. Because he's, you know, it human being wise, it has to be in a linear timeline of you meet, you court, he proposes, he prepares a place for you, comes back, takes you to your place. Right. But God
That's
is beyond time,
works.
Right? Yeah. He's beyond linear. And so he's courting us and wooing us as he's preparing a place for us. And all these things are so intimately, deeply entwined all at the same time.
Well, there's no like, I have to get to know you and make sure you're the right one before I prepare a place. It's like, no, I chose you from the beginning.
Yeah.
So I don't need to wait to prepare the place because I already know that you are the lover of my soul and you have been since the moment I laid eyes on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's already in that process.
Right. As we're speaking, the word trust keeps coming to my mind. And I think there's so much to that in trusting who he is, trusting he is who he says he is, trusting that he is doing these things.
Yeah.
Right. He proclaims it over our hearts in scripture, in John, in Romans. We're going to read a little bit later in the podcast from Song of Songs. So for you, Megan, how does trust work for you in your relationship with the Lord?
Well, as you said that, I kind of had this like little ping on my heart of, I wonder if there's people who are listening and following along with the study who are like, this is the hardest one for me because trusting him as someone who's supposed to love me is too hard because maybe past hurt or past pain. And it's too hard to see him as the man in my life kind of thing. Right.
For
like if you've been wounded in that place, I remember we were doing our class. There was a lady who we were talking about the Song of Songs and it talks so much about your beauty and the way he sees you as beautiful. And she said, I can't read those lines. It's too hard for me to hear that I'm beautiful. And so I wonder if there's anybody who's like feeling that right now. And I would say that's definitely part of my story is like being hurt by people. And, but he is so good to heal those wounds. And it was almost like he became the safe place when nothing else felt safe, you know? And I know it can go the opposite direction too, especially like when you have, like hurt by a father or something like that. Like sometimes it's really hard to connect to God the Father. But for me, it was like, he was the perfect perfection of what my heart longed for.
Yeah.
And I was able to receive that because of surrender in the very beginning of like, I just went in full speed with trust of like, okay, Lord, I trust you. I'm going to believe that what they say is true about you.
Yeah.
Even if I can't see it, even if it doesn't make sense in my past, I'm going to believe what scripture says is true. And I'm going to believe what I've heard from other people and I've seen is true. So if that's where you are, it might be a good time to like stop the podcast for a minute and just renounce some lies and say, in the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that you're not safe. Or in the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that I can't trust you to love me.
And as you're doing that, I want to encourage you to sit there in the quiet and ask your, I've done this before in adoration. It was really cool, but ask your guardian angel to help you pray through those lies. Like, and as I was doing that, like things would just come up that I didn't think even know were there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's good.
It's almost like my guardian angel was my prayer minister.
Yeah.
You know, leading me through a healing prayer session.
Yeah.
But yeah. And as you're speaking that, I just think of Our Lady, our mother. And I'm going through the total consecration right now. It actually ends the day that you're listening to this. It's my consecration.
Congratulations.
Day.
Yay.
But in a very beautiful, powerful way, she is awakening me to the fact that, you know, whenever we struggle with encountering God as the Father, whenever we struggle encountering Jesus as the Son and the Holy Spirit as the bridegroom, she was the perfect, she was the daughter of the Father, the mother of the Son, and the bride of the Holy Spirit.
That's cool.
So she perfectly embodied, and not on her own will, like she was full of grace, right? But she knows what it means to have, like a completely whole relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So if any of those areas you're struggling with, like with what Megan just spoke of, invite her into that.
Yeah.
Ask her to show you, how you can go about this journey, you know?
Ask her for her prayers too.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
And her guidance. So yeah. So Megan is going to share with us a story of, Gomer. She is a woman in scripture who has, a pretty huge story to tell. And God is, I've said this for a very long time, but God is just so poetic in the minuscule ways, the nuances, but also in the big picture, the big scheme of things. And you can zoom into this story and learn a lot from this particular story, but you can also zoom out and see how this story applies to the whole of Israel and to God's people and how he's chasing after God's people.
Yeah. So it's in the book of Hosea. And if you listen to our Find Your Fire series, you probably heard me tell the story already, or you may have heard it in person too. But it's one that I've told a couple times lately because it's just so powerful. And I think it's one that people don't, typically know. I'd never heard of it before. So it's in the book of Hosea, which is one of the prophets kind of near the end of the Old Testament. And Hosea is a prophet. He's a man and he lives in this town, and he's a good and honest man who just loves the Lord, loves him with everything he has. And this story is a type, and type is a theological word that means like kind of like foreshadowing, but stronger than that. So he is a type for Jesus. And this whole story is about God's love for his people, but it's a true story as far as we know. It's not just symbolic, like it's actually happened. And so what was going on during that time period is that, as we talked about in the last podcast, Israel had the tendency to be really devoted to the Lord and want everything he had for them. And then they would completely fall apart and they just kind of would go back and forth. And so he would send these prophets to speak to their hearts. And of course they didn't have the Holy Spirit, and they didn't, except for the prophets, and they didn't have, any way to deeply atone for sin. And so they just were constantly trying to fight for their own salvation, which was really hard. And so what would happen is they would go astray and they would get led off by other things. And so at this point, the Israelites are in a bad place. They have basically turned their back on God, and they have, done three things that he is not happy about. The three main things are that they have not trusted him with their fertility, which I think is really interesting, because
that is interesting.
As a world, we're not very good at trusting him with our fertility anymore. And they started, worshiping the God of Baal, and Baal was a fertility God. And so they were, and what's interesting about this is I don't know if it's fertility in the sense of getting pregnant or not getting pregnant. I think it was more of a for pregnancy, but it doesn't really say that in scripture.
Yeah.
But it just says with their fertility.
Think so, because, if you were barren, then you were
considered blessed and to have babies. Yeah. So but for us, it's like the opposite fertility, right?
Right.
I mean, I guess it could go either way. So that was one of the things. They didn't trust him with their fertility. They didn't trust him with their safety. They were trying to fight their own battles and go to war on their own. And the third one is they just didn't trust him. So all of those things have to do with trust, right? Like they were trying to be their own God. They were trying to grasp and control and make things happen for themselves. And he was saying, trust me. I can do this for you. I already have this all planned out. I already know what's supposed to happen. Just let me lead you. Right. And they were really struggling with that. Again, not much has changed.
Right?
We still struggle with all of these
already,
things.
How much of this story resonates with you?
I know. Like, it's just not much changes. We are also very much like Israelites sometimes. So God comes to Hosea and he says to him, Hosea, I am going to give you a bride. And you have to think that like Hosea's, you know, so excited and full of joy and mm-hmm. I'm going to have a bride and this is what I've waited for. And he said, but he's not going to be, she's not going to be your normal bride. She's going to be one who, the rest of the world has shunned, mm-hmm. one who has made mistake after mistake after mistake and is actually a prostitute. Mm-hmm. And her name is Gomer. And I love to think about scripture stories, like if you were in the story. And so I would assume like if we lived there that Hosea knows who Gomer is, mm-hmm. small town, they know people. And his first thought, imagine the trust it takes to say yes to something like that, to say, okay, Lord, this is not at all what I thought my life was going to look like.
And he probably went through some mourning.
Right.
Well, his own, within his own humanity, mourning
you'd have
the
to.
Idea that he had, right?
Of right.
What that moment's going to be like when he lays eyes on her and then falls in love and, you know, all those things.
But I think there's a deep trust there. And it's funny because in the scripture, it just says, and then he went like it happened real fast. And I don't know how long between those two sentences it actually took. And maybe there was some deep wrestling with the Lord and a hard conversation. I don't know. But he trusted him. And so he receives this call from God and says, okay, I will go marry this woman. And so I kind of picture that he then goes to her house and knocks on the door and she opens the door and she sees him and everybody knows who he is too, right? Like he's this really good guy. And she probably thinks, what are you doing here for me? Mm-hmm. Nobody comes to see me unless they want something from me. Mm-hmm. Why are you here? And he looks at her with love and with tenderness and with kindness. And he says, no, I am here to see you. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I want to spend time with you. I want to get to know you and I want to marry you. And, she's immediately taken aback by the thought of this good man marrying her. And she says, yes. And she receives him and they get married. And the Lord says to him in the very beginning, you're going to have children. And he names the children for them. And the names are so sad. They're like, not mine and not pitied.
Yeah.
Like, because what he's saying is like, Israelites, you have turned so far away from me. You're not mine anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's hard for us to
like,
hear.
I don't recognize you anymore.
Yeah. That's a good way to say it. It's not that I don't want you. I don't recognize you. I don't know who you are anymore. Mm-hmm. I think that is probably what that means. Cause this story is one of those where if you just go back and open the book and read it, it's intense.
Yeah.
Some of those Old Testament stories are like, whoa. But I like that as I don't recognize you. And cause there's clearly this deep desire for them to be his, mm-hmm. he wants them back. And so, they have their first child and everything seems normal and they're having this marriage and they're living their life and they're doing what they're called to do. And then somewhere along the way, Gomer falls back into her old patterns. Maybe lies have crept back into her head that say she's not good enough for Hosea. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happens in the process, but she begins to go back into a life of sinfulness and she gets pregnant again. And, it's very clear that it is not his child and that she has had an affair on him, which is what the Lord said would happen. He mm-hmm. said, she will break your heart.
Yeah.
She will turn away from you. She will, you know, commit adultery against you. And so he went into that knowing, and this is all kind of like a foreshadowing for what Israel is doing to God at the same time too. Mm-hmm. Like they have turned their backs on the Lord and committed adultery with idolatry. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of goes back and forth. At this point, I think she kind of hits rock bottom. Like she doesn't know what else to do. And she's like, well, he's not going to want me around anymore. And mm-hmm. so she runs. And she leaves him with the children and she takes off. And so now he's alone with three kids and she doesn't know where to go or what to do. And the only thing she can do is go back into a life of, you know, slavery and prostitution. And so some time passes and the Lord tells him to go after her. And what's kind of cool is like the story flips back and forth. So it's like Hosea is speaking to Gomer, but then the Lord is speaking to the Israelites. And the Lord makes this message to the Israelites of like, I'm going to chase you down. Mm-hmm. And before I chase you down though, I want to strip away everything that you have come to cling to. Mm-hmm. Everything that you think is giving you safety, is giving you security, is allowing you to have this sense of false control. I want to take that all off of your heart.
Yeah.
Because in order for you to really trust me, you have to know that those things are not giving you any security. Mm-hmm. And that sounds kind of harsh, but in a way I think it's actually like an act of love. And it's like that pruning that our hearts need to say, I can't hold on to these things because yeah. once, if I hold on to it, then I think that it's working. Mm-hmm. I think that somehow I'm causing this. It makes me think of my husband. He, had a big aha moment when we first went through CHIRP. He was raised kind of like a do everything for yourself, self-made man kind of guy. And he was in graduate school and he worked so hard, the hardest working man you've ever known. And he felt like I did this all myself and mm-hmm. he gave no credit to God whatsoever. It was all him. He did everything. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until we went to CHIRP that he had this moment of like, I've done nothing myself.
Wow.
I just thought I was
right.
I thought I was in control of my life, but in fact I had zero control and yeah. he learned how to like give God the credit that he deserved. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of feel like that's what's happening here. He's saying like, I'm just going to strip all this away mm-hmm. so that you're left with nothing. And he sends Hosea after Gomer. And so Gomer at this point is being sold into slavery. And the way that slavery, a slave trade would happen during that time period is they would gather in like the town square and bring in all the people who are being sold. And it's probably like a sex slave kind of trade. Mm-hmm. And they would put the women up on like a big rock and they would strip them down to nothing. Mm-hmm. And the women would be standing there completely, you know, full of shame and no shreds of dignity left, just completely alone. And the men would all kind of walk around the women and they would yell and they would whistle and they would look at them like they were just cattle mm-hmm. and treat them like dirt. And I have to assume Gomer's standing there and she's going, how did I get here?
Yeah.
Like I used to have this husband who loved me and now I'm back here mm-hmm. and I was doing my best and I was trying to be good, but it wasn't enough. And I've fallen so far and how could anybody ever want me again? Mm. I think is kind just of
worthlessness.
Yeah. Like just the amount of worthlessness and shame and, yeah. and just, she's so stripped of dignity in this moment. And another promise that the Lord made to Israel, which I think is really cool as we're talking about the bridegroom, is he said, I will betroth myself to you. Mm-hmm. And as Kendra's already told us, betrothal was a time when he went off and made a place, a home for the woman. It was also the time when the father of the bride paid the dowry to mm-hmm. the future husband. And so this is the moment where you're giving the money, which I thought was a little weird, whatever. It's yeah. what they did back then. Giving the money for the marriage to happen. And so during this time, after he says, I've stripped away everything, the Lord says, I will betroth myself to you, Israel, forever. Mm-hmm. And you will always be mine and I will love you. And so what he's saying is, I'm going to pay the highest price possible. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give every penny I have because I want you. And so in that moment, Gomer looks out on the crowd and she's just feeling alone and sad. And she hears someone yell from the back, I'll buy her. Mm-hmm. And Hosea is standing there and he has every penny to his name. And he says, I'll give every penny I have because I want to take my wife home. And it's this ultimate sacrifice that the bridegroom makes for his bride. Even though you've kicked me and knocked me down, I'm going to give mm-hmm. every penny that I have full, total sacrifice to show you how much I love you. Mm-hmm. And so in that moment, he's that type for God paying the ultimate sacrifice, the mm-hmm. ultimate price, which was to give his son to us so that we would know just how deeply loved we are. And,
how worthy we are,
Mm-hmm. And I love to think of, Jesus hanging on the cross. I've heard, saints say in the past that like when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he's being beaten and he's being, you know, whipped and he can barely breathe. And all he had on his mind and on his lips was my name mm-hmm. and your name and you, sweet listener, like your name. It was worth it so that he could love you mm-hmm. so that he could be your bridegroom. He gave the ultimate sacrifice out of love, a deep, deep sacrificial love.
Ooh.
Your turn.
Nope. I don't even know where to go from there. Hold on. We need to sit and marinate with that. First of all, Megan, you have an anointing and storytelling and bringing the scripture to life. Wow. That was really beautiful, really powerful.
Thank you.
So let that sink in. Let that marinate over your heart right now. You are worth that.
Yeah.
You are worth that. And 9 times out of 10, we are the ones who get in the way of that, right? Mm-hmm. Gomer got in her own way.
She did.
You know, she had a husband who loved her for all of who she was. And yet she let, you know, her own view of herself, her own words over herself, her own definition of herself, tell her that she's not worthy of that. So she went back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
right?
true.
And so we have our God who loves us deeply, our God who will never turn away from us, who loves us with the most pure, unbridled love that we will ever know. And how many times do we get in our own way? How many times do we judge ourselves? And I want to kind of transition this to what are we speaking over ourselves? Mm-hmm. Are we speaking life over ourselves? Are we speaking to ourselves and over ourselves words that our bridegroom would speak? Or are we speaking words over ourselves of judgment, mm-hmm. of scorn, of unworthiness, beating ourselves up? I had quite the journey with this actually the past couple of days. So my daughter turned 16, and here where we live, apparently you have to get an appointment like 6 months prior to get your license.
It's the worst.
It's insane. So we make a big road trip to Brenham, Texas, which is almost 2 hours away.
Which I did this too.
Yes.
You and I both have done this. We both made this multiple mistakes.
Yes. Yes. Things they don't tell you when you're applying for license for your children. It's
so
insane.
Hard.
They need a website just for that.
The poor mamas who are stressed out.
I know.
Out.
So I made this appointment for her, not knowing that I needed to also make an appointment for her road test. And, you know, Philomena is ecstatic. Of course, every 16-year-old, you know, she's ready to drive.
Hey,
she's
at least
super
you did it the day
excited.
After her birthday. Ella's is going to be 6 months late. So you're better than me.
That's not on you though. Ella had concussion.
Yeah, she kind of on me.
She couldn't start it yet though. So we're there and I had done my homework. I had read this stupid website for DPS, which is such a confusing website.
Oh, it's so hard.
Book the appointment, all the things, talk to other mamas. And we get there and we start the process. We hand her paperwork and she's like, okay, so I see that you have this and this. Good. We had our I's dotted, our T's crossed, all the things. And then she said, I see that you aren't signed up for a road test appointment. I was like, excuse me. She's like, yeah, that needs to be a separate appointment on top of this one. And they need to be like an hour apart. So I went in here like already with, the lies that, you know, I always mess things up, that I never get things right, that I'm a disappointment. And so I'm already battling these lies of worry that this is going to happen again. Right. And it hits, I'm very frustrated, and God bless all of the employees at the DPS offices because, you know, all of these things are out of their hands. They just sit there and they do what they're supposed to do and they do a good job. And this woman, she can tell I was so frustrated and she handled it very gracefully. But I'm sure she gets yelled at
all the time,
all the time. Yeah. All the time.
Because every mama is frustrated.
Right. Yes.
All of
she
us.
Said people have been driving from Odessa, like 8 hours away.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
That an hour and not 2 hours
everything.
Is bad. We drove.
It's insane. So anyways, Philomena was severely disappointed. And driving back, I'm just hearing lie after lie after lie. Like I did it again. I messed it up. And Philomena was so graceful about all of this. She, of course, was frustrated and she vented and, you know, decompressed with me, which is really good. But then she was done. She was good. She's like, Mom, it's okay. Don't hold it over yourself. But I was the one that was just reeling with these thoughts and speaking lies over myself. And so I went to, thankfully I had my holy hour that night, and I went to adoration and sat before Jesus and poured through all of these things. And God, he is just so good. He is so good. He helped me navigate all of these thoughts. I went and renounced these lies, and he gave me truth to speak over myself, and it happened, right? But the ties to the lies are broken. Like, right. You know what I mean? If mm-hmm. that makes sense. Like, I know I messed up, right? I learned from my mistake, that sort of thing. I'm telling every mother that I know that mm-hmm. this child is about to get their license, what they, you know, what I learned. But I guess I want to say soul tie, but not in the sense that it's normally used in healing prayer, to the lies are broken. They're off, they're gone. And that was so freeing. And I realized how I have been living this out and not speaking truth over myself and not speaking words that the bridegroom would speak over me.
Yeah.
And he gave me his words over my heart night, and it was beautiful. So I journaled it, and I've been reading over him and stuff. But then the next day, God literally like parted the seas for her to get her license, you know, like, I thought I wasn't going to be able to get an appointment until January, February. And
yeah, cause that's the problem, is once you lose your appointment, it's months before you can get in, and you have to drive 2 hours again.
Yeah. So same day of appointment, fit right in the timeline to be able to go pick up the girls from preschool, all the things. It was beautiful. So I want to relate that to you, friends, of, pay attention to how you're speaking over yourself and the words that you're speaking over yourself. Are they words that the bridegroom would have for you?
Yeah. Well, and as you're saying that, if you're so accustomed to speaking negative thoughts over yourself, and we're doing these prayer activations together, right? And we're asking you to ask Jesus things. Something beautiful may pop into your mind, and you're going to immediately discount that because you're not used to hearing that spoken over you.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? So like, the Lord doesn't speak in negative words. He's very gentle, and he's very kind, and he's very loving. And everything is, for the most part, when we're doing activations, it's beauty, and it's look how wonderful you are, and look how much I love you. Like, think of the way you speak to a child.
Right.
You don't, I mean, we just want to pour love on little kids, right? We just think they're so cute, and they're so sweet, and they're so wonderful. That, for the most part, is what we experience in these activations, because he so desperately wants us to feel his love. Right. But if you're not used to receiving that kind of love, something like that might pop into your head, and you'll be like, oh, that can't be from the Lord, because clearly no one speaks to me that way. He wouldn't speak to me that way too. So be cautious of what you receive and what you don't receive. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because if, I guarantee you, if you hear something beautiful in your heart and in your mind, it's from him.
Yeah.
He that is who he is. He is gentle and kind and loving. He's not, you know, going to speak to you in harsh terms. Yeah. But I think what Kendra's saying too is like, we have to practice speaking to ourselves that way so that we can receive it from him too.
And God created our brains to where whenever we speak negative thoughts over ourselves, those synapses are formed to become truth within our brain. And whenever, like, psychology has proved this, and whenever we speak truth over ourselves and positive thinking, it reverses those negative synapses and reforms them to be positive. And so we can transform, like, the renewal of the mind is not just a spiritual concept. It literally transforms our brain.
Yeah.
Our brain.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
They're so, like, so interconnected.
That's how big our God is.
Yeah.
That's how big
and the other way around too. Sometimes I think people think like the renewal of the mind is just like some sort of, you know, heebie-jeebie.
Yeah.
But no, like the Lord wants to renew your heart and your mind.
Yeah.
He does. He wants to show you what you look like to him. And he wants to be the first thought in your mind is of him. And the way you process things are going to him first. All of that is part of renewal of the mind. Yeah. I was listening to Annie F. Downs this morning, posted on Facebook that she had a really bad headache. She had like a migraine in the middle of the night. And she woke up and she didn't know where her Imitrex was, like her medicine. And so she asked Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think here's the problem. I don't think we ask Jesus enough.
Yeah.
I really don't. I don't think we ask him enough. And so she just said, Jesus, where's my Imitrex? Because she was like in such a bad way, she couldn't get up and look for it. And she said, and all of a sudden, like this image popped in my mind of my bag and this compartment inside my bag that had this other little pink bag in it. And he showed me exactly where the medicine was.
Wow. That's awesome.
But like, that's the way he loves us. And I think it takes a renewal of the mind to get to the point to go, oh, you love me enough to point things out like that to me.
Right.
You love me enough that I can come to you when I have a question and that you want to answer that question for me.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of part of what we're wanting to do with this study is get you guys into a habit of going to him, of asking him questions and then waiting for his answer and receiving it when it comes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it might look like a big drawn out answer. It might look like one word and it might just be like a feeling in your heart of like deep peace or deep love. Mm-hmm. All of those are good and holy ways that the Lord might speak to you during your activations.
Yeah. Yeah. So as we wrap this up, I want to, I have my Passion Translation Bible here with me and I wanted to read this over you. So maybe y'all can, you know, get into a comfortable prayer posture and close your eyes and just listen to the words. These are the words of the Bridegroom King, in Song of Songs chapter 4. And this is him speaking to you. Every part of you is so beautiful, my darling. Perfect is your beauty without flaw within. Now you are ready, my bride, to come with me as we climb the highest peaks together. Come with me through the archway of trust. We will look down from the crest of the glistening mounts and from the summit of our sublime sanctuary, from the lion's den and the leopard's lair. For you reach into my heart. He's speaking this about you. You reach into his heart. With one flash of your eyes, I am undone by your love.
Whew.
Let that sink in. With one flash of your eyes, I am undone by your love. My beloved, my equal, my bride, you leave me breathless. I am overcome by merely a glance from your worshiping eyes. For you have stolen my heart. I am held hostage by your love and by the graces of righteousness shining upon you. How satisfying to me, my equal, my bride. Your love is my finest wine, intoxicating and thrilling.
Wow.
We intoxicate God the Father with our love. What?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And Song of Songs was written to be a love song to you.
Yeah.
Not just a love song to whoever Solomon was married to, but it is the words of Jesus to his bride.
Yeah.
So maybe if you need a little bit more encouragement of how much he loves you, go back and read some more Song of Songs, especially from the Passion Translation. I think it's just easier to understand.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
The meaning is just so much more apparent than in most Bibles, and it's beautiful. Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Wow.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to have an activation that launches tomorrow and some time for you to spend some more time with your bridegroom.
Yeah. And we're praying for y'all.
Let us know if the Lord is moving in your heart. We want to hear it.
Yeah.
Email
want to
us,
celebrate
tag
with
us,
you.
Yeah. Post it. I don't know, whatever you want to do. Just tell us.
Yeah.
All right.
Y'all are a gift.
Bye, guys. Thank you for joining us today, friends. We are so excited to do this study with you, to hear about the way the Lord is speaking to you. And if you have the Lord moving in your heart, let us know. And make sure to join us tomorrow when the activation drops, and we'll see you soon.